And now from Sin City, the hottest sports betting show in the nation, Friday Night Locks. With your hosts, the betting pros, Justin and Jason. So get suited up, grab a drink, and enjoy the show.
Welcome, pro football bettors. If it's Friday, it's FNL. On tonight's episode, we break down all the games fit to bet for week two of the regular season. JT?
Yes?
Guys, I'm super excited for our second podcast, but I'm more excited about this news that I'm seeing breaking out of Hollywood. Have you guys seen this news breaking out of Hollywood yet?
No, we have not.
Oh, no.
Okay, so let me be the first.
I only watch ESPN.
Let me be first to tell you, they're making finally a sequel to Mean Girls.
No way.
They are. I have the title right here. It's called Mean Girls, : The Aaron Rodgers Story. Because not since Lindsay Lohan has there been a bigger drama queen.
He shaved his ugly ass beard, but he still has his hair in a ponytail.
He looks like a tech bro. He looks like the guy who started WeWork. He stands on the sideline like a sourpuss. He threw 2 picks, 0 touchdowns last week. The entire offseason, he spent crying and wanting to be the host on Jeopardy, which he quickly found out that his popularity was below LeVar Burton. And for all of his whining and crying and I don't want to be here, maybe I'll play, maybe I won't play, that's what you get, Aaron Rodgers. 3 points, spanked by the Saints.
Love
it. Debbie Downer sourpuss.
Who dat? Aaron Rodgers was on a show this week when they asked him, like, what was that fucking crazy? You were, like, jumping in the air when you threw the pass that turned out to be an interception. And he said, I got hit in the nuts.
I saw that.
Bro, I mean, just say you looked like a high school football player with throwing on your off foot and you got double nutted. Like, bro, don't give me fire. Don't give me fire because I'm going to attack you. And you got flambéed against the Saints.
It's always somebody else's fault, right?
It's always somebody else's fault. And, you know, kudos to the Saints, man. Hell of a defensive plan. Jameis, they didn't ask him to do more than he needed to do. And God bless. But Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a long season. I thought to myself at one point, is this dude trying to suck so bad? Because he's not. There's no way he could suck that bad. Because he's not in shape or he's not prepared or whatever. Is he trying to just suck so bad that Matt LaFleur just goes, just trade the guy to Denver already. Like, I'm done with him. Is he trying to lose his
psychology.
Job? Yes. Yes, T.
I think Aaron Rodgers fancies himself some sort of movie star or actor. He only dates actresses. He thinks he has a better personality than he does. And I just feel like he's so thirsty. He's so insecure. Can you imagine being a Green Bay fan and hearing him the entire offseason say, I don't know, maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'm into it. Maybe I'm not. Like,
maybe I'll retire. Maybe I don't care.
It's just
that,
like,
that probably has a lot to do with the team morale and that why they didn't show up either.
Tanya, they were one game away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, you want to sell your house in Green Bay and, like, it's over. I don't care anymore.
Right.
They were right there. And you know why they didn't win? Because of him.
Right.
Because of him.
I think he's couple tears fall from
Matt
his
LaFleur
face
said,
the game.
Oh, dude, pouty. Like, pouty. Matt LaFleur said, we got flat out embarrassed today. That was his press conference. I respect that. I respect a coach taking the responsibility and saying, we look like shit. We did not look prepared. We sucked today, and it was flat out embarrassing. You know what Aaron Rodgers said when the journalist said to Aaron Rodgers, hey, Matt LaFleur said you guys got flat out embarrassed. He goes, oh, he said that? Whatever. It's one game. What?
You're supposed to come out strong in this game.
Too much on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not giving the guy more of my time right now.
I hear you. I just
Move
like
on.
I'm constantly surprised by the amount of whining and drama and Aaron Rodgers standing on the sideline with his burn book like Rachel McAdams going, I don't like you, LaFleur, and I don't like you, Jeopardy. Yeah. Burn. Little teenage girl.
Literally.
Aaron Rodgers. Burn, baby.
Having said that, he's going to come out for blood this week. You know that shit.
And secondarily, a lot of people are going to watch this next Green Bay game. I can tell you that.
Oh, it's Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Goddamn right there.
If anything, he's getting the viewers.
On the quarterback note, can I make my report card for the rookies?
Sure.
Real quick, I'm going to knock this out. Zach Wilson was 20 for 37. He threw for 258, two touchdowns. I think that was junk time because they were getting smoked. He threw a pick. Trevor Lawrence was 28 for 51. I don't understand why Urban Meyer would let a rookie throw 51 times. That's on him. He had more yards, of course, because he threw 50 fucking one times. He threw for 330 yards and three touchdowns, but he also threw three picks. Mac Jones, 29 for 39. Very respectable.
Mac Jones.
Very respectable. A touchdown, no picks. Justin Fields, who I can't really say because he didn't start. He was 2 for 2 for 10 yards, and he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
So, God bless. And then I'm going to even add Tua to that list because I consider Tua a rookie still. I do. Because he didn't play a lot last year, and I still think he's a rookie. So he was 16 for 27. He threw an interception, and he threw a touchdown. They won the game. He didn't hurt them too bad. So without getting into this, I think there's a quarterback rookie watch, and I think that's important when you're betting. Like, I'm not saying we're going to fade these guys every game, 17 games, but I'm saying maybe. Urban Meyer's asking a lot of Trevor Lawrence, and I just don't know how long that's going to fucking bode well for them. It didn't work last week, and I don't think it's going to work this week. I don't know. I want to keep an eye on these QBs because I think that that might be an edge for us.
It definitely was an edge in week one. Week one rookies, I think, were 0 for ATS, right? Yep.
They did not cover, and they did not win. Mm-hmm. Also, real quick report card. The NFC West is 4-0.
Yep.
Rams looked absolutely fantastic on both sides of the football. Well coached, well prepared. I could go on and on. Seattle looking great. Their O-line held up for Russ. Russ was amazing as always. His receivers are out of this world. That throw to Ty Lockett was just a dip in the bucket, 50 yards, unreal. And then he had a 75-yard where he burnt the DB. San Francisco, how many options does Shanahan need? He's got both sides of the ball again. They put up 41. They're not bullshitting. Arizona looked like a juggernaut. And I just want to say this one thing. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. One of those sacks was a strip sack that was run in for a defensive touchdown. Not since Derek Thomas, bro, in 1990. Derek Thomas had 7 sacks against David Craig with the Seattle Seahawks, which is a 30-year-old record. And Chandler Jones had 5 the other day. So that dude's my fucking NFC player of the week.
Taylor Lewan had to apologize and thank him for exposing him. You
what
see
was
that?
Taylor Lewan looking at? The sidelines? Was he looking at his wife? Did someone call him on his cell phone? Like, the guy wasn't even looking in the right direction.
He was looking at his torn ACL that's rehabbing.
So the NFC West is live. And then really quick, the NFC North, 0-1, 0-1, 0-1, and 0-1. They all lost. So that'll be a long year. It's not even worth discussing. NFC South, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and then there's the Falcons. Great. NFC East, 0-1, 0-1, 0-1, and then there's the Philadelphia Eagles, who, my friend, will win that division. Then we have the AFC West, all winners. The Raiders, unbelievable. Whatever. And then the AFC is only Miami one. But just as a little report card, in the AFC North, the Steelers won and the Bengals won. The Browns lost, which I don't think that, and the Ravens lost. So I think if you were looking at your stat sheet, you would probably say out of those four teams, who would be 0-1? I don't think you would say the Browns. I don't think you would say the Ravens. The Browns had a tougher game against KC. The Ravens, no excuse. No excuse for that bullshit. And that's my report card.
All right. Well, since this is our second podcast, let's see how we did last week. We were 2-3 on the pod. We fared a little better in the Circa contest. We went 3-2. We went 1-0 in our tees, and we have 4 tickets in our Survivor pool, all 4 cashed. So, really fun week, week one. A lot of great football. Super exciting to be back in the mix. And we're alive in the contest, and we forgive Derek Stevens for the infamous hat incident of 73. We're going onward and upward. I'm ready for week two. Who else is ready for week two? Let's get
Can't wait.
It.
It's very live.
Got a big show. Let's get it.
The only thing more fun than watching football is betting on it. Ready to make some cash? Gentlemen, lock it up.
Okay, let's get into it. Kansas City versus Baltimore. I'm going to touch on this. I touched on it a little bit last week, so I just want to like kind of inflate the numbers. If they weren't frightening enough last week, they're even more frightening this week. Patrick Mahomes is now 11-0 in September. He's thrown 357 passes without a pick. He has thrown now 35 touchdowns, also obviously without a pick. And the Baltimore Ravens are in very, very big trouble. As of last week, we didn't know about the Gus Edwards thing. You know, when we did our pod, we didn't know about the Marcus Peters thing. No excuse. Like, I'm not making any excuses for that. We chose to still ride the Ravens because I was like, they're still the Ravens. They got to have some fire. Mark Andrews came out and was like, we're going to be Braveheart and all this shit. Not the case, dude. The Raiders torched them. And, I mean, it wasn't even about the running backs that weren't there. It, like, the Marcus Peters thing, I feel like, stood out the most. These DBs were getting torched. They threw to Darren Waller 19 times. The guy's a tight end. They threw to him 19 times. He had 10 catches, 105 yards, TD, blah, blah, blah. Antonio Brown for the Buccaneers had a great day. He had only 7 targets. 5 of them he caught for 121 yards and a touchdown. Darren Waller is a tight end, dude. He's not a wide receiver. So just to make this very quick, what the fuck was the Baltimore defensive coordinator thinking about when everyone in Allegiant Stadium knew the ball was going to Darren Waller, except him, obviously? I was screaming at the television, it's going to go to Waller. Double team the guy. Beat his ass. Kill him. I don't care. Nope. Catch, catch, out of bounds, catch, tic-tac, poop, run the clock, tac, cut, cut. What the fuck do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to do to that defense? What do you think Travis Kelce is going to do to that defense? Darren Waller, with all due respect, you're not Travis Kelce. Kansas City is going to red rum those motherfuckers. The spread's 3.5. They're going to win double digits. I'm saying it here first, and that's all I got to say. I think more of this was about how badly the Ravens played than how the Chiefs are going to play, and I feel bad for the Ravens because they have to play a Monday night game, short week. Now they got to fuck with Kansas City. At least they're at the house. Kansas City played Cleveland, which could have gone either way. Now they got to play Baltimore, which was on the schedule like a big deal. But, dude, Baltimore's in very big trouble. It pains me because I like them. Lamar cannot fumble the ball, hold it up in his in the sky like a loaf of bread and fumble twice a game. They're in trouble. That's all I got to say. And if you think Kansas City doesn't have the greatest defense in the world, but they have a better defense than the fucking Raiders. They're in very big trouble this week. Play the Chiefs. Just run to the book right now and play the Chiefs. Lock it up.
I hear you. This is a stay away from me because I have to freely admit that I have a toxic, codependent relationship with Lamar Jackson. And last week on the pod, I called him for MVP. We know I took the Ravens. They were up 17-7 in the, going into the fourth quarter. The weird thing about KC is, as awesome as they look, they haven't covered in quite a long time. So that's a little witchy to me. I'm not going to say take the Ravens because I agree. They blitzed way too many times. It was a strange game, and Lamar broke my heart like he always does. So I respect your pick. I'm not going to wholeheartedly give two thumbs up because I feel like me and Lamar are just, we are on opposite sides more often than not, even though I love him. I can't quit Lamar for some reason. That's my fault. So take KC. If you like that pick, that's awesome. So stay away from me.
I mean, you always say, and I'm not going to go on a tangent, you always say, why buck the odds, right? With the whole Harbaugh and preseason. Why would you buck this September, you know, amazing stat with Mahomes and Andy Reid, right? Play it, and play it until it hurts you. I'm not going to buck those odds.
No, listen, Mahomes destroyed Baltimore the last time they played each other. And I'm sure you're right. I'm just saying, every time I put my money on Lamar, it ends badly for me. So I'm going to stay away.
Okay, respect. Lock it up.
So, Jason, this week the Steelers are favored over the Raiders. How do you see this matchup?
This is one of my favorite plays this weekend. I love the Steelers here. This is a very situational, spot-driven pick for me, and I'll tell you why. This is going to be the whitest thing that you've ever heard in your life. 2 weeks ago, I took my son to see Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer. Okay? If that's not the whitest thing that you've ever heard, I don't know what is.
So great, though.
Were you able to stay awake the whole time?
But here's my point. I love Weezer, and Green Day put on a good show. You can have Fall Out Boy.
We always do.
But here's my point. My point is, I look around. It was at Dodger Stadium. I looked around. People were so happy to not be in quarantine, to be outside, to be in a stadium, to be celebrating life and music. And I think if you look at week one, that trend continues. Las Vegas was on fire for their opener. They had DJ Steve Aoki. They had Little John. It was so hyped. And I think the team really fed off that. I mean, talk about a home dog, Raiders.
Not initially, though.
Not initially. How?
Like the Ravens really.
Oh, right. Right. But I do think that the home crowd is huge after COVID. That's my whole point. I think that there's a little extra vibe in the air. There's a little pent up energy happening. I think it happened for Vegas. I think it kept their energy up. So I think the Raiders pulled off a huge upset last week. I think they woke up the next morning with a dead hooker, a pile of cocaine, and a penis written in Sharpie on Derek Carr's forehead. And I think now they have to get on a plane.
Ugh.
They have to fly to Pittsburgh, where, you know what they do in Pittsburgh? They don't have any nightclubs. They don't have any Steve Aoki premier DJ. You know what they have? They have a factory that makes ketchup and mustard and macaroni and cheese. That's what they have in Pittsburgh. And that's why their home crowd is going to be fucking terrible towel, crazy. Raiders, one less day of prep because they played on Monday night. Raiders
short
have to
week travel.
Sure, they have to travel through three time zones to get there. It's an early start. Pittsburgh's defense, some people are saying it looks like the 85 Bears already. That might be too soon. Maybe pump
way too soon. Slow
maybe
down.
Pump the brakes on that, but I'm here to tell you they looked for real. They maybe even looked better than last year when they started 11-0. Their defense looks fantastic. I think this is a bounce back spot for Najee Harris. I love the home crowd enthusiasm. I think based on what I saw out of Weezer and Green Day, those fans are going to be losing their minds. I think the Raiders are not going to face what they faced against Baltimore when you're right. Baltimore blitzed them all the time. They threw to Darren Waller, what'd you say, 19 times?
19 fucking times.
Well, here's a little fun stat for you. Pittsburgh is one of the best teams in the NFL defending tight ends. And Pittsburgh last week, I don't even think they blitzed once. Their front four is going to get there. They're not going to have to blitz at all. I think their defense wins the day. I think they control the game with their running game. You know who was worse? You know who the worst team against the run in the NFL was last week? The Raiders. They gave up 189 yards to a team, Baltimore, that lost their two starting running backs. So I just feel like Pittsburgh is the play. It's at 5.5. I think they win it by at least two field goals at home in Heinz Field. That's the play.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean, obviously, you're very high on the Steelers. They played very well in a hostile environment against Buffalo. It was really interesting in that game. They couldn't do shit for, like, the first half, and then all of a sudden they just beat Buffalo down. And I think that I just heard that Incognito's out.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy is out.
McCoy is out for the season. Josh Jacobs is rattled. Like, I just think...
Carl Nassib.
There's no way that they're going to go. I mean, yes, they're on that, you know, that high from Monday night. More so of the Ravens shitty than the Raiders goody. But, you know, kudos. God bless. You're 1-0. You got to fly to Pittsburgh. That's that 10 a.m. game. Good luck. I agree. I think that it's going to be a long day out there.
All right. Take the Steelers. Lock it up.
All right. Justin, the Eagles host the 49ers in their home opener in the Lincoln Field. Do we go Eagles or do we go 49ers?
I think this is going to be the game of the week. I think it's going to be fireworks. I hope it's on everybody's TV. I got to take the Eagles plus the points as a home dog in this one, and I'm going to tell you why. Jalen Hurts looked amazing. He looked amazing. Amazing. The guy, he's the truth. He was 27 for 35. That's 77%. He threw for 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks, and he had 62 yards rushing. He did fumble once. Who gives a shit? I'm not going to crucify the guy. His jersey went up 500%. Mm-hmm. On Monday morning. Like, Jalen Hurts is Jesus Hurts. What you do with guys like this, and what you also do with guys like Kyler Murray started the season last year, they were 6-2. Then they kind of, you know, they were like, oh my God, Arizona's on fire. Kyler Murray's the truth. Then they did a dive and they finished the season, I think it was like 4-whatever. You got to ride these guys until they fall. And so with that being said, a guy like Jalen Hurts, I don't look at the guy like, oh, he's got something to prove. Like, Tom Brady was like a 77th round draft pick, and he's like, fuck everybody, I'm going to show the world, and all these chips on their shoulders. Jalen Hurts played for Alabama, got benched for Tua. Then when Tua took a shit, he went in and he beat Georgia, took them to the title. Then they benched him again and put in Tua. Like, then he went to Oklahoma. Then he took Oklahoma to the playoff. Like, the guy is no joke. He's a winner, and he doesn't fucking complain one bit, Aaron Rodgers. He just does his job. This is his team. Last year, he was like, it's not quite my team. I'm just going to, you know, I'm gonna stay in my lane. I'm going to lay in the cut. I'm not going to trip. This is his squad, and the guy is ready to roll. You ride those Kyler Murrays and you ride those Jalen Hurtses, and yes, you know what? A lot of that motion, even Deshaun Watson, you could get hurt. You could tear an ACL. You could get cracked and get a concussion. You could be out for this and that. But until that happens, you ride those motherfuckers. San Francisco, God bless. They are well coached. Everybody's healthy. They're ready to roll. They were all over the place, whether it was from wide receiver to tight end to running backs. They had a running back issue. Elijah Mitchell went crazy. So I'm not shitting on the 49ers, but if you're going to give me Philadelphia at home plus 3.5, maybe 4, depending on what it's going to fall at, I'll take it. Because I'm going to ride this train as long as I can. And until you show me that somebody can catch up with this guy, I'm going to ride him. Philadelphia's defense looked very good. Granted, they played Atlanta, whatever, but they still did great things. So it's a no-brainer for me. This is a home dog that I really like, unlike the Ravens. I'm going to ride this, and I'm going to lock it the fuck up because I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't bode well for that West Coast team to fly to the East Coast, yada, 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 equals an L.
Yada, yada.
Yeah, second game on the road for San Fran. Again, love the hometown Philly fans are going to go ballistic. I heard a great interview with Sirianni, the new coach of Philly this week, and he's designed the offense around Jalen Hurts. And I think it's almost like Baltimore didn't do enough of that. I don't think Baltimore let Lamar be Lamar enough. They're kind of like saying to him, you need to pass more. People know you can't pass. And it's, every time Lamar took off, good things happened. But you could tell that he was purposely trying not to be the old Lamar, where I think Philadelphia is leaning into that with Jalen Hurts and letting him run and letting him create. And what I like most about it, because I love defense and I love offensive lines, Philadelphia in the trenches, they looked good.
Dude, they looked really good.
Both sides of the ball. This is a great home dog pick. I like this pick a lot.
Also on that Lamar thing, and I'm gonna make this quick. When he runs, he doesn't try to hit the sideline and get the first down. Like he's running like a running back, like Zeke Elliott. He's in the middle, shake and bake. Oh, I gotta shake this guy. He's like trying to be a running back and get there. Most quarterbacks, they know their lane. They kind of roll out. They do the fake pump. Then they fucking roll out. Then they hit the sideline. They get the first down, whatever. And then they go on to the next play. That's what Jalen Hurts is doing versus what Lamar is doing. And I think that you're asking so much of Lamar and you're not asking that much of Jalen. And he's still throwing the ball for almost 300 yards. And in this day and age in football, dude, everybody's throwing for 300, 400 yards. Back in the day, like that was a big day. If you threw for 350, if Troy Aikman threw for 400 yards, that was like a career builder for that guy. Nowadays, everybody's throwing for 300, 400 yards because that's the game. Mark Andrews got paid $56 million and they fucking targeted him 5 times. That's an OC thing for me. That's a problem.
Yeah, I love
Jalen Hurts is not being asked to do what Lamar's being asked to do, and I think he's going to succeed there, and I think that he knows that this is his team. There's no more Carson Wentz. This is his squad, and guess what? Here I come.
Yeah, Philly a live dog this weekend for sure.
Lock it up.
The Seahawks take on the Titans this Sunday in Seattle. Jason, what's going to happen with this game?
So the hardest place to play in the NFL is in Seattle. We know the 12th man. I'm going to continue to use my theory that after we let the fans back in the stadium, there's a pent-up energy. There's an excitement. And I think the same will be true in Seattle. I think the fans will make it really hard for Ryan Tannehill and the rest of the Titans to go into that place and cover this number. I heard this week that Ryan Tannehill was practicing the silent count because the fans are going to be so loud in Seattle, they're not going to be able to hear the play call. The question is, why did they wait till this week to start practicing the silent count? The answer is, Ryan Tannehill was on the COVID list for 10 days. The Titans had all kinds of COVID issues. The Titans had a zero starter preseason. And they surely looked rusty against the Arizona Cardinals last week in their own building. Now they have to travel to Seattle and deal with that. I think the Titans will bounce back a bit this week. I think Derrick Henry, after he gets held to under 100 yards, he usually bounces back the following week and rushes up a storm. But I don't mind that. And I think Derrick Henry can have his rushing yards because I think that Seattle's going to pull away at a certain point. And when they pull away, they're not going to be able to feed Derrick Henry the ball a million times if they want to keep up with the score. The Titans showed they have a terrible defense, as we predicted. Their secondary is horrible. Russell Wilson is 20-1 right now for MVP. That's a decent bet. He looks phenomenal. By all reports, Russell Wilson had the opposite offseason that Aaron Rodgers did. Russell Wilson dedicated himself to being a better football player in the offseason, and it shows. And talk about his weapons. Even his running back, Chris Carson, rushed for 120 yards last week. Their offensive line is greatly improved. Pro Football Focus ranked Seattle's offensive line number 2 after week 1 behind the Cleveland Browns. And their defense is improved. Pete Carroll, by the way, Pete Carroll celebrating his 70th birthday this weekend. I love that vibe. I think Seattle's going to give him a huge birthday present. What they're doing this year on defense is different from what they've done in the past. They're rotating guys in and out constantly. They're keeping their defense fresh. I think this is going to be a battle in the first half. I think Tennessee is going to come out with their hair on fire. I think Mike Vrabel is not having it. I think he fucking read them the riot act. I think they're going to come to Seattle. They're a better team than they showed against Arizona, and I think they will put up a close fight, but I think Seattle's just going to be too much for them. I think the 12th man is going to be too much for them. The Titans have a new offensive coordinator, and I feel like their system has not gelled yet, probably because they haven't had a huge preseason to work on it, but Julio Jones, 3 catches. Mike Vrabel called him out last week. He doesn't look in sync with Tannehill. I think that the Titans' defense is ranked 30th out of 32 in the whole NFL. Seattle's ranked 16th. So what are we getting? We're getting better offense, better defense, the hardest place to play in the NFL. And here's another little handicap that's fun. Mike Vrabel was so mad with his kicker after the Tennessee loss to Arizona, he fired his kicker. Tennessee's playing with a kicker that they just elevated from the practice squad. So unless Tennessee scores every time, they're not going to be kicking any field goals. And I just don't know who in their secondary is covering Lockett and Metcalf. Give me Seattle at home. I think they comfortably cover this number. It's at 5.5 right now. I think they comfortably cover that number. Final score, 34-24. Seattle.
Mike Vrabel should have fired himself on Sunday, not his kicker. Because if his kicker kicked 6 field goals, they still would have lost. That's number one. Number two, I agree with everything you're saying. We don't need to revisit this. This is a stomp for me. Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses is on tour right now. But I have it on just a side little undercover. He's going to be there on Sunday ringing the bell.
Nice.
The 12th man bell. And guess what? He's done it before. And you know what? It is a tough place to play. That stadium was designed to be loud as fuck. That one end zone where it's open and the stairs are there, like it's so loud, it's not even funny. Tennessee's got big problems. Tannehill, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, yeah, they're going to do their thing. But you know what? It's not about a kicker. It's not about a coach. It's about that entire squad. Their defense might have gotten worse since last year. So I love your play there. I'm all over it. I love it.
So let's go with Seattle. Lock it up.
It's teaser time. 2 teams, 1 bet, 6 full points. So tasty.
All right, let's put together some teasers. We went 1-0 last week in our teasers. We took the Rams, we took the Niners, and I will say the same thing I said last week. There's a lot to choose from here. There's some juicy teasers. I can tell you right now, The Patriots are at 5.5. You tease them down to +0.5 at the Jets. I like that. I like Joey Burrow getting points. I like the Dolphins getting points. I love Carolina. I mean, New Orleans has COVID. It's coming. I think Carolina, home dog. Cleveland, I like to tease through the number. I think even your boy Aaron Rodgers, I like to tease Green Bay down. And Minnesota, actually. Give me some more points in a bounce-back spot for them. What do you think?
Aaron Rodgers can eat a dick up till he hiccups. That's my best. No. I'm sorry. That's my point. Until he proves to me that he's not actually throwing games to get fired so he can go elsewhere, I'm not buying in on that at all. I think the guy's trying to get fired. I'm being real right now. I've never seen anything, and I'm a Saints fan, I've never seen anything like what that dude put on Sunday.
All right.
I would fade, and this is my new theory. By the way, our teaser section last week, we didn't do too hot. You know, we were okay. You know, we did okay. We did better than most. But in our teaser section last week, if you look at, if you go back and listen to it, every game we threw out won. And it wasn't even tough. It wasn't like, ooh, we barely squeaked everything we threw out. I'll take the Rams right now. I'll take the Saints through the number. I'll take this. I'll take that. They all came through. I think that if we can't put together a teaser where we're getting 6 points, then we got to go back to the lab. So with that being said, I got, obviously it's not going to make the show, but tonight I like the New York Giants because there's no QB in Washington. I mean, there is and there isn't. If this kid was a starter, he would have beat out Fitzmagic. He's not. He's simply filling in. So I would take all the rookie quarterbacks, I'd fade them all, and then I would fade all the teams that I feel like are angry. I think the Buffalo Bills are angry. I think I could tease them to +2.5. I think that the Broncos are going to destroy the Jaguars.
I like that one. You get that at pick because they're at -6. Yeah.
New coach, Urban Meyer, blah, 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 and beatdown. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Teddy Two Gloves as a starter is almost automatic.
100%. And then you go to your Jets against the Patriots, another rookie quarterback. Again, Bill Belichick had the Jets job, quit the Jets job. We've talked about that before.
Some key injuries for the Jets as well.
Yeah, and he's unreal against the Jets. What's the other one? The Bears are in big trouble. Matt Nagy, as I said before, and I'll say it again, he will be the first coach fired. He's garbage.
Cincinnati's going to cover that number for sure. Agree.
Cincinnati, dude, the Bears have, what do they have? Their defense is overrated from going back to the Bears, you know, all of their legend. And I'm telling you right now, there's no hope there. And you can't tell me that if Justin Fields wasn't ready in preseason and he's not ready by week 2, you know, when is he going to be ready?
Joey Burrow, superior quarterback.
Great wide receivers. Everybody was like down on Ja'Marr Chase. The guy showed everybody. He gave him the middle finger and said, here's a 50-yard TD with my boy Joey B, LSU style. I'm going to bring that back. My teaser or some things that I like the Bills. I like the Broncos. And I like the Patriots. And then after that, I think it kind of tapers down, and I really don't have a side on. I mean, I could put together a bunch. I like the Steelers, but if I was to really put something together, I would throw the Bills in there, I'd throw the Pats in there, and I'd throw the Broncos in there.
I love Denver as a pick and the Pats +0.5. Should we do Broncos pick to Pats +0.5?
Totally down with that. I have no problem with that.
Okay, so let's make our week 2 teaser, Denver pick to Pats +0.5.
I love it.
All right. Love it.
And we're fading these rookie quarterbacks. Like, why not, guys? Like, why not, right? Why not?
Concur. Let's do it. Let's go 2-0 on our teasers.
Let's go 18-0.
I have a question.
Do it.
Do it.
Yep.
Pretty much a very broad question, but whoever wants to go first. In week 2, who do each of you think is going to be the breakout player. Not necessarily a rookie, but just someone who is going to be the star of week two.
It's a great question.
I'll go first.
Yeah. I think that's a matchup thing, but that's a great question.
I think Najee Harris is going to have a big, big day in Pittsburgh. Wow. I think they held him back a little bit. Number one, running back for Pitt. They're going to rely on the run. Raiders' run defense is god-awful. Mm-hmm. Najee Harris, very good guy, easy to root for, due for a big breakout. If this was a prop betting situation, I'd take Najee.
Over whatever, yeah, whatever the numbers are, like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. how many carries, how many rushes. One thing I agree with that. Do you know that Najee Harris played 100% of the snaps on Sunday?
Love it.
There was not another running back that touched the football. The guy was in every snap, and he had every running back carry, which I believe was 17. And he didn't break out. He didn't go crazy, but he was nice. He also looked nice.
He also used to live in a homeless shelter, and when he got drafted and got his big contract, he gave a huge donation to the homeless. He's just a really easy guy to root for, and I think he's going to have a big day.
Is he young?
Yeah, he just came out of Alabama. He's a rookie. Hmm. And he just came off a national championship with Nick Saban.
Nick Saban should run off together.
Nick Saban.
You just love him.
Nick Saban takes his squad out on his boat because he's so rich. He takes all his linebackers. It's so funny. Look it up on ESPN. He takes them all out on the boat, on the speedboat, and all these big dudes are on these tubes, and it's funny. He's a great guy. God love him.
I can't believe you don't have a shirt that doesn't say.
Well, maybe Jason will buy me one.
Oh, wait. Is that Amazon knocking at the door?
Someone is at the door.
Someone's at the door.
Okay, so my breakout player of the week... And this is kind of crazy, but not so crazy, is going to be Mac Jones.
Mac the Knife.
The reason I say that.
Mac Jones.
I could be wrong, but like, trip this. Peep this for a second. Rookie QB picked 15th. Rookie QB picked 2nd. In Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. So there's something there, dude. Granted, if you asked Mac Jones, would you rather be on the Jets or the Patriots, he'd tell you 10 times out of 10, fuck that, the Patriots. My man Nick Saban and my man Bill Belichick, they're homies. They love each other. I know the system. I can learn. I can listen. He's going to show Zach Wilson why he should have been number 2 or 3. I think Mac Jones could have played for San Francisco. I think Mac Jones could have played for Chicago. I think Mac Jones could have played for anybody that wanted Mac Jones. New England moved up for him. God love him. The guy could not be happier to freeze his ass off in New England and be the second coming of Tom Brady. And if you notice, he's wearing Tom Brady's number at Michigan, which is the number 10. He can't wear 12 because that's TB12. Mm-hmm. I think Mac Jones is going to put on a show. And I think that every week that's under his belt, that playbook's going to open up and open up and open up. And it's going to
Do you
better.
Think Belichick off a loss is a good bet?
Dude, I think Belichick is a good bet every week. That's what's
Watch
frightening
out.
About the guy.
Watch
every
out.
Week. Even Vegas lines are afraid of Belichick. Like, even the lines. When is the last time you saw New England +8, +10? Never.
I think that's the first time we actually spoke about Tom Brady this week.
We should have a Tom Brady session.
No, let's not.
No? Okay. Maybe not. I'm just putting it out there.
I know
Tom
Jason
Brady
would
section,
love that, but...
We call it TB12. Mm, no.
We'll okay. think about
Maybe
it.
Maybe not.
Okay, before we go, before we recap, I just need to know, what is up with these kickers? Somebody, please give me an answer.
I got one for you. They suck. It's like, for instance, that Buccaneer game. Zuerlein missed an extra point and 2 field goals. They lost the game by 2 points. So if he makes the extra point, they only lose by 1 point. So they still lose. But if he makes the field goal, they win. And if he makes the second field goal, they really, really win.
Yeah.
Dude, if Zuerlein, if Zuerlein,
you have one job. Yeah. Kick the ball in between the posts. That's it. Very simple.
You have one job.
They should know they have one job. Screaming.
I wonder if they let him fly home.
How disappointing does that feel when you can't do the one thing you're paid for twice? Three times. Was it twice?
You missed an extra point.
Silly.
All right, let's recap. On today's FNL, we like KC -3.5, Pittsburgh at home -5.5, Philadelphia at home +3.5, Seattle at home -5.5. Our teaser is the Denver Broncos to pick 'em, teased with the New England Patriots +0.5. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Friday Night Locks or Twitter at Fry Night Locks, where we post our Circa contest picks every Saturday after 3 p.m.
Great show. Beat the book, beat the book, beat the book. That's all we preach over here. Grab yourself a cocktail, grab yourself a drink, kiss your girl, and have a great week. Peace out.
Bye.
Thank you for supporting Friday Night Locks by clicking the like and subscribe button and leaving us a review. Thanks again for tuning in, and see you all next week. Good luck at the book.